College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. This was D'Amico Ryans, Texans head coach, on Friday, asked about how are things going so far with your new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. What's he been like to work with?
Nick Caley has done an outstanding job of is really connecting with the staff, connecting with the players. He's done a really good job of, you know, making it his, making the offense the Houston Texans. Right? It's been a very thorough process, a very detailed approach, which was the same throughout his interview process. The energy is on 100 every single day. So I love the positive energy that he brings, the smile, the joy that he brings to work every day. And it rubs off on the players. So he's done a fantastic job, but that has been great working with him. And I know he's going to do a really great job of leading, you know, that side of the ball.
Okay, one thing I've had to fight against, Sean, I've consciously tried to fight against this, is the tendency that we human beings have to get really excited about any new person who's the opposite of the old person. And just feel like, okay, all these things that Bobby Slowik may have been lacking in, it seems like Nick Caley is the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. So Slowik, not a real energetic, dynamic, kind of glint in the eye type of guy. I don't think anybody would accuse him of being charismatic or, a nuts and bolts old school football coach. It feels like Caley is the exact opposite of Bobby Slowik in a lot of ways. I do think that there's something about Slowik that, aside from being a first-time offensive coordinator, might not have been a good fit on this team because you have a defensive-minded head coach. Mm-hmm. And I could see where maybe D'Amico thought, yeah, you know what? Bobby has a lot of the things that are different than me, that maybe he is more... he's a little bit more analytical about things or what have you. He's kind of a whiteboard type of guy. And D'Amico is very much about just the coaching on the field. Is a defensive coach. He's trying to keep things as simple as possible so guys can play 1,000 miles an hour. And you need something to offset that personality. If D'Amico were an offensive-minded head coach, and that might be the perfect fit with Bobby Slowik. Mm-hmm. You have the nerdier guy who's kind of your like the CFO of your corporation.
Sure.
But it was just too much for Bobby Slowik. With Caley, the biggest thing that really intrigues me is just the fact that every time I've seen him talk or people talk about him, he sounds like a guy who is about getting your hands dirty, getting down in the muck and really hammering the fundamentals, the technique side of things, more so than a whiteboard warrior. I don't think Nick Caley ever would have accepted a job at Pro Football Focus for 2 years.
Right. Yeah. He'd have gone and coached at high school somewhere before he did that.
Like Cole Popovich.
So I think it's telling too that they brought back the rest of the staff for the most part. You know, like that was the one thing I noticed out there on Friday. You're like, oh yeah, there's Danny Barrett giving one-on-one coaching with Woody Marks over there. You know, there's
Ben McDaniels is coaching the wide receivers.
Working with the wide receivers.
Cole Popovich
was on the staff last
his job.
Year.
He was the assistant offensive line coach.
Yeah,
last
so he
year.
He got a bump up. So I think like that only serves to accentuate what it is you're talking about, which was they felt like they needed. It feels like they needed a Slowikectomy. You know what I mean? Like they had to. Like this was a. This felt like, by the way they've kind of moved and behaved this offseason, that it was, you know, that it was I don't want to overstate it, but it was like it was a Slowik issue more than it was an entire staff issue.
It felt like the kind of company where maybe there's like too much of a gap between the engineers and the people doing the actual work.
Yes.
Where sometimes sometimes the engineers get a little too far ahead of themselves in terms of practicality or what mm-hmm. have you. And so if you don't have engineers that also have an appreciation for getting the actual job done, then you got a disconnect there between the white collar and the blue collar. And I think that's what it felt like with Bobby Slowik, is there might have actually been a disconnect between the white collar side of things and blue collar. And D'Amico, if you think about a team that's going to take the image of D'Amico. It's a very blue-collar feel to it. Kaylee feels more like a blue-collar guy.
It'll be interesting, the dynamic you're talking about where maybe Kaylee gets his hands a little more dirty teaching fundamentals and things like that. That'll be something that'll be interesting to see in training camp when they actually start running 11-on-11 and he's sending in plays and things like that's all they were doing at the rookie minicamp was working on drills and fundamentals. They didn't have enough guys there to run any 11-on-11 or anything like that. It's all into. They didn't even do any one-on-one stuff with that I saw at least with receivers and DBs or anything like that.
In terms of actually time spent running around, where is Kaylee on the Mike Vrabel scale of things? I know he's not. I know he doesn't have necessarily the vicious wit of Vrabel, but Vrabel was running around all over the place. Where was Kaylee in
that regard? Bouncing around quite a bit to the different spots. Yes, yeah, I would say he skews to the Vrabel end of things. Yes, minus you suck, Zach Cunningham. How'd you get picked in the second round? That was the funnest part about West Virginia. The only people there were us and the team. You could hear everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. All right, more from D'Amico. This is D'Amico Ryans on the two wide receivers, the Iowa State kids, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, on the two of them coming here together from Iowa State.
Seeing Jaden and Jalen together is very comforting for those guys, like being able to work together in college for the past couple years and being able to be drafted to the same team. I think it's a unique situation for them, but I think both guys will benefit a lot from it just because they have someone to lean on. A lot of times you get drafted and you go to a new city in a situation where you're trying to learn a lot of new things, learn new surroundings, and you trying to learn new people as well. So I think they benefit from having each other, right? Having that brother from college to be with you throughout this process is only going to help both of those guys, I think, speed up their transition to the NFL.
Okay, I can tell
like,
you.
Okay.
Just Jaden Higgins, large individual. That was my observation.
Yeah, larger than he's taller than he might be a 6'4 and a quarter type of guy as opposed to a 6'3 and 3/4 guy.
Yes.
He strikes you as he's listed at 6'4. They used to do the exact measurements from the combine. Now they just do the at least when
round
I was looking
it.
Just 6'4. I'm just every time I look at the draft picks. And I'll include Daniel Jackson, the undrafted rookie who comes out of Minnesota as well. When you look at the rookie class, it feels like Nick Caserio followed my Christmas.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The shopping strategy, which is, all right, I'm gonna go to two stores and all the presents are gonna come from these two stores. Because I don't want to deal with the rest of it.
Iowa State. Minnesota, USC.
In the Senior Bowl. There we go. We're going to go. And we'll go to the Senior Bowl and three colleges. And that's it. We're not going anywhere else. Okay?
I am not dealing with crowds.
Right. If I've got a gift certificate, then maybe I'll go get somebody from Rutgers or something.
Right. But I know these schools have a great return policy. All right.
Yeah.
They're very.
Oh, yeah. It's Penn State. I had a gift certificate for Penn State.
Penn State
so
as
we
well.
Took a Penn State guy, too.
Yep.
I think that the Iowa State dynamic is interesting because Caserio is the guy that really said how much he respects Matt Campbell, the coach at Iowa State, and Matt Campbell just had huge, huge, huge endorsements for both Higgins and Noel. Campbell, in the article that Jonathan Alexander has out in the Chronicle right now, Campbell thought Noel was going to go in the second round, you know, and Noel gets a lot of feedback from coaches as he's talking to all these people. So a lot of people thought that Noel was going to go in the second round. That's why so many people are looking at it as a real value pick for the Texans. But the wide receivers coach for Iowa State, I think really he spoke really highly of both of them. He said one week Jaden would go off and vice versa. I've never coached two guys that truly see joy in seeing the other have success. It's kind of what Iowa State is. And you get that image of these two guys that they seem to be wired as team first type of guys.
Yeah.
And with your wide receivers, you love to have a room full of wide receivers that don't have huge egos and aren't, you know, bitching about not getting enough targets after a win, that type of stuff. These guys seem like the opposite.
I hope that each of them are equally happy to see Nico Collins have a lot of success.
Right.
Because that is likely to happen with this football team. Yeah.
Nico called them. Nico said they got a couple of dogs.
Oh, did he? Okay, good.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't like seeing any Texans players say that ever since.
As long as it's not Laramie
Tunsil said that everybody was a dog.
Laramie saying it anymore. I'm fine with it. CJ Stroud texted both of those guys, too. I like seeing that. You know, it's little things like that. But, CJ, they said, both of them said, yeah, CJ texted me.
That's one of the questions they get. Every rookie gets, hey, did the veterans on the team text you or call you afterwards?
Yeah.
That chafes against me a little bit that now it's almost an expected requirement. It's almost a story if a guy doesn't reach out or text or something.
Right.
Like, all right, come on, man. They are still rookies, all right? Let them be treated like rookies for a little bit.
That's true.
I wish CJ would have sent him a work shirt, a blue-collar work shirt with their name on it. Be like, get ready to work, you little punk.
Yeah, a toolbox.
Yeah, then make him carry his pads.
That's right. Let's skip down. Seth, you still haven't picked out your undrafted guy yet. Your adopt a UDFA that you do annually every year.
Yeah.
Here is D'Amico. Ben, let's skip to D'Amico 2 here. This is D'Amico Ryans on possible Seth Payne adoptee, Junior Tafuna, the defensive tackle out of Utah.
The thing I saw with Tafuna is a really big, strong guy that can – he's very versatile. I like him in the run game and in the pass game. I think he does both. Young guy who can come in and add some depth to our interior defensive line. That's what we've been looking to do is continue to upgrade that position, find younger guys who can help us out there. And I think Tafuna is a guy who, seeing his college tape, he can help us.
Tafuna's the front runner right now for the UDFAs that I might adopt. But I got to wait until I see the first week of training camp. I'm going to adopt after the first week of training camp.
Okay.
I need to see them go again. I don't want to pick one of these guys and then have him go out as soon as the pads come on. He buckles under the physicality of the league.
Yeah. Do you want an opportunity to speak to some of these guys, too, to see if they're your kind of guy?
Yeah, we'll have to do a series during the first week of training camp because there's only 5 or 6 undrafted rookie free agents.
Right,
so
right.
I could do a little interview with each of them They're easy to get.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not like
everybody else
like, Omar, please.
Yeah.
Please, can Tafuna. I talk to Tafuna? No, he's not accepting questions today, Seth.
He heard about your adopt a free agent gimmick.
The center, Eli Cox, is getting a lot of buzz from the fan base, too.
Yep.
Just because he's very, very athletic, but he's got short arms. He's working against having short arms, but he is incredibly athletic, so there's upside there. Each of these guys, Daniel Jackson, the wide receiver out of Minnesota, is really intriguing because he produced like crazy in college. I think he's a third all-time Minnesota wide receiver, whatever it might be. Just didn't have all the physical traits. But he's on a team where it's going to be really, really tough to make the team as a wide receiver. I mean, we talked about it earlier. We've ignored Braxton Berrios to a large degree in Braxton Berrios, if you can get the best out of him as a returner, and he's going to be in the wide receiver's room, that takes up a wide receiver spot.
Yeah,
and then you've got Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie still. So I think that there's a very good chance Daniel Jackson's on the practice squad this year, but he is intriguing.
You can just watch. The three of them were all working together, Higgins, Knoll, and Daniel Jackson. You watch those three guys work next to each other, and it was easy to pick out. This isn't shade. It was easy to pick out which one was the undrafted guy. Jaden Higgins is this monstrous 6'4" guy. Jalen Knoll moves like very few human beings move. And Daniel Jackson, you're like, okay, guy looks like he could belong in the NFL, but he definitely he moved differently than those guys. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. All right, this was as angry and animated as we've seen Joe Espada since he took over as Astros manager. We have that for you coming up next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.